Sweet Tea and Tacos. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
And today we're talking about tea. Sweet tea or not sweet tea, that is the question. And if you're from the South, that's a big question.
It is a huge question, and there can be a lot of debate over it, and we're going to try to not go there so much, but we do want to talk about how we do it and just kind of our perspective on things. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, growing up in California, I don't remember sweet tea being a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we had unsweet tea.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely remember, you know, my mom made sun tea, mm-hmm. you know, and I remember that was the kind of a 70s. We were talking about how that was kind of a 70s thing.
Yeah, my family made sun tea as well. So, yeah, I guess it was just real trendy.
Yeah.
But
then you found out some stuff about...
Well, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, hey, why don't people do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, it turns out that, I guess... it can open the door for bacteria to grow, mm-hmm. you know, that method of brewing. So we're not recommending it, but
yeah.
it was a big trend in the 70s. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting that both of our families mm-hmm. did that a lot.
Yeah, it was easy to get overbrewed, you know, I think. You could leave it and forget about it.
You have to just do, like, you know, 1 or 2 hours at the most.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what it is... you start with some kind of glass container so that the sunlight can shine through, and put cold water and a few tea bags, doesn't matter mm-hmm. what kind, you know, green tea, black tea, whatever, but we always did black tea. And you just set it in a sunny spot and let the sun
right.
go to work on it.
And I was kind of wondering, you know, I remember taking a long time, and you were saying it didn't take very long, so I was wondering if maybe that was attributable to the weather, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, wasn't as hot there, and so it was mostly sun rays mm-hmm. versus maybe if you did it here in June, July, August, boy, it would probably make real quick.
Yeah, it did get fairly hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I remember most about my mm-hmm. childhood as far as how we made tea. It was 9 times out of 10 sun tea.
Gotcha. Like I said, I don't remember sweet tea until we moved back here, and you know, you would have it at somebody's house or, you know, maybe a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying how it really wasn't...
It wasn't all that prevalent.
Not like it is now.
No, not at all. Sweet tea wasn't. You know, you'd go to a nice restaurant, you'd order tea. It was always unsweet, and mm-hmm. you would just have to sweeten it at the table, which, you know, is kind of a pain, honestly.
Right. But, you know, now versus nowadays where it's so much more prevalent pre-sweetened.
And, absolutely.
But then we talked about how, you know, teaspoons.
Right.
You know, those obviously were created... to solve the problem of stirring in the sugar in your tea. So mm-hmm. There had to be enough time and enough people doing that.
Right.
Sweetening individual glasses of tea that somebody said, oh, let me create this thing.
You right. know? Like, and, I guess, I don't know if it was, it'd be interesting to know why. Mm-hmm. Maybe the restaurants didn't want to fool with it or whatever the case right. was. But I guess, you know, they got so many requests that it's so much better now.
Pre-sweetened.
Yeah, and I remember I went, you know, a couple summers ago, our son was up in New England
right.
at a kind of a leadership camp type thing, and I flew up there for the end bit that the parents were invited to, and we went to a restaurant, and I just kind of asked, I was like, hey, you don't happen to have sweet tea, do you? And they were like, no. And I had lived up in that area after right. college, and I remember the struggle. And yeah. I was just like, oh, shoot.
Yeah.
And so ended up ordering a soda or something.
Right. You know? Yeah, and that's kind of, I've gotten to the point where, and I don't mind unsweet tea, having grown up with it. You can't drink it at all.
I mean, it's just not my thing, you know?
Yeah. But I don't mind. And I've gotten to the point where I don't even order hardly sweet tea at a restaurant anymore. And mm-hmm. I'm just super craving it. But a lot of reasons, because it's been bad or whatever. And I don't mind unsweet tea. I mean, some of it's wanting to have a little less sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, if I'm going to have it, I want it to be really, really good, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so, yours is really, really good. The method y'all use and that you taught me when we got married.
Yeah, the method kind of grew up with. I mean, obviously, my mom taught me other ways besides sun tea.
Right.
But yeah.
But you think about sweet tea being a very southern thing, but it was interesting in some of our preparation research. Mm-hmm. It really didn't start out that way, you know, and it was sweetened, you know, in other areas of the country were drinking it pre-sweetened and iced and that type of thing. And then mm-hmm. it really kind of got big when iced tea did, anyway, when ice finally started making it to the south. It was more prevalent in the north mm-hmm. before that.
Because of the climate.
Because
and
of the
all
climate
that, yeah.
is a little easier to access to.
And then, right. And then once refrigeration came right. along, you could do ice cubes and all that.
Yeah. It got to be easier when they could transport the big things of ice. So, yeah. But yeah, so not always a southern thing. And then, but the south has kind of claimed it, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do.
Because there is not much better than a glass of sweet tea and some mint and sitting on the back porch.
Absolutely. I would have to agree.
And I think that, you know, we both drink hot tea, and mm-hmm. we've been to England, and we've enjoyed tea, hot tea, and I think sugar brings out, just like the salt would,
in
a dish,
yeah.
It brings out certain flavors.
Right.
So, like, I can drink hot tea without sugar, but I also enjoy it with sugar and milk because it changes the flavor mm-hmm. profile. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the tea we drink now, and iced tea, is mostly what?
Well, it's pretty traditional to do orange pekoe mm-hmm. is the variety.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you get in those iced tea, designed for iced tea or whatever they are, made for iced tea.
Yeah,
type of.
Like, especially, you know, those big old family size
right.
tea bags and things like that. So that kind of segues into how we brew it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about
so,
that?
So, yeah, the method that we use that you taught me, I guess, came from throughout your family, but I think works really well. And like anything else that's liquid-based, if it's a soup or if it's a tea or whatever, you got to start out with good water.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a water service, water delivery service. You know, it's on the big kind of cooler, but it's spring water.
Right. And just, you want a neutral water. You know, tap waters have different twangs to them that you don't realize.
Yeah, or maybe have some chemicals and
right.
things that have, you know, from the processing. But yeah, just a real good quality mm. water, because that's going to come through.
Right. So we boil it, and we use one of those glass, tempered glass measuring containers for 4 cup. And what you're going to end up making is a tea concentrate. So,
mm-hmm.
And what we found is, if you look on the boxes of tea, brew time's anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes. And that's a pretty big range of time.
It is.
And to avoid, and to kind of, I don't know.
To keep from overbrewing,
thank you. We like the shorter brew time. So mm-hmm. kind of what you guys did and what we've continued is use a little extra tea.
Right.
And then brew a shorter amount of time. And we feel like, and of course, there's no scientific backing of this, but that it doesn't get it as astringent, because you're not brewing it long to get that in that part of it.
Right. It's a nice, strong tea flavor, but it doesn't get bitter.
Correct.
Or, like you say, astringent. And
right.
so, I mean, really, I wouldn't brew it. We've talked about this. Don't go past 3 minutes.
No.
Two is probably ideal. And it seems short, like, oh,
right.
gosh. But really, if it's
yeah, so
the right amount
there,
of tea,
right.
it's going to get the job
boiling
done.
Boiling water.
Absolutely.
4 cups. And then the tea, 2 minutes. Pull the bags.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sweet spot, as we like to say.
And that's for us. That's for our family.
Is 3/4 of a cup of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it makes, probably all told, as far as the container we end up putting it in.
It's about a gallon.
Maybe a little bit less than a gallon.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then you put it in there.
Yeah, we usually do a ceramic pitcher. And
right,
then
right. Well,
am I jumping ahead?
Yeah. Don't jump ahead. You got to stir that sugar into the hot
that's right.
water. And that's the key, I think.
Yeah.
Because as you stir it, when you first put it in there, it's going to be a little cloudy. As you stir it, it takes 30 seconds or so, mm-hmm. maybe a little more.
Yeah, to get it all dissolved.
But it dissolves, and it becomes like a simple syrup. And mm-hmm. you'll see it as you're stirring. All of the sugar will dissolve, and it'll take on kind of a shininess. And to me, that's that's right there the key step,
mm-hmm.
is fully dissolving that sugar in
absolutely
there.
And you can use a simple syrup if you want. I mean, you could make one ahead.
And if you're in a hipster restaurant, they'll serve a little unsweet tea with simple syrup.
A hipster restaurant.
Yeah. But deconstruct everything. But yeah, that's essentially what you're doing, and I think that really suspends the sugar. It gets
It's called a solution.
Solution.
I believe.
Oh, thank you.
Yes,
thank
you. Thanks to our daughter
our
in
daughter,
middle
yeah.
school, her science this past
See,
year.
See, there you go. The science of sweet tea. But yeah, and I think that keeps it from being cloudy. You know, you get rid of any little cloudiness, and then, like you said, we have a ceramic pitcher. Mm-hmm. We put some room temperature or cold water in there. Again, the spring water.
Yeah,
and pour that into the pitcher, the tea solution into the pitcher.
Yep.
And then there's your pitcher
that's,
of tea.
Yeah, that's your final.
Yeah, go in the fridge
product.
And then you pour over ice when you're serving it. But
yeah, you don't want to put it maybe in the fridge too quick.
Right.
Because you were saying that that tends to lead to some of the cloudiness.
That's
typically,
a little bit of what I came across was when they're talking about problems with tea and maybe cloudiness was cooling it off really fast.
Right.
Yeah.
And typically, you know, we're making tea right before we're sitting down to a meal.
Correct.
So it's going to sit on
it's
our table
tea.
For a little bit and then
right.
cool down. And then by the time we're finished eating,
right.
we just put the remainder of the pitcher back in
right.
the fridge.
And you're big on that tea not sitting out.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would never let it sit out overnight. I mean, and then I guess it depends on where you live. Our climate in the summer is it's hot.
Right.
So it can spoil and get kind of funky. You know, I mean, people will say that iced tea or sweet tea can sour, and that's you don't want that to happen.
Right. No, so you know, that's pretty much it's pretty simple, but it to me it comes out so good, and it's so much better than a lot of the commercial tea, you know, at a restaurant or, you know, certainly when some you buy. Now, there are some really good ones you can buy in the grocery.
There are. I mean, there's some really awful bottled teas, but there's some good quality ones these days. Like, there's one from the next state over that's phenomenal, and we have sort of gotten into buying that.
Yeah.
We do about half and
half
these
and
days.
Half,
it's just more of a time saver.
Yeah.
But...
So there you go. And you like a couple extra things in the tea sometimes, though.
Sometimes, yeah. So, okay. You know, you can go with lemon wedges.
Mm-hmm.
And that was never kind of something that I was really into. And then, like, when you and I guess, started dating and were early married and all, and maybe I would forget, or they wouldn't ask or whatever, in a restaurant, do you want lemon? And it would come with it on there.
Right.
And then I would always give it to you.
Yeah, I'd always lemon wedges.
Because you like it a lot.
Yeah.
But
I do. I do like that interplay between the sharpness of the lemon juice and the sweetness. It's kind of a different thing.
Yeah. And I mean, they do that in with hot tea.
Right.
Know? Mm-hmm. But to me, the best is mint.
Mint.
Mm-hmm. And you certainly wouldn't want to do mint and lemon. It'd be one or the other.
But and not just any mint, though.
That's right. It's got to be spearmint.
Not
peppermint.
Right.
Leave peppermint for the holidays, but it's spearmint.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty easy to grow.
You can
grow it in the yard. It likes sunny places.
Yeah.
Full
sun.
Full
get a
sun.
Water.
And
that's a great place if you're not really growners. It's a great one to start with.
It is. But you can also do it in the pot.
Yeah,
in, a pot. If you are in an apartment or you have a small, you know, porch area or whatever, we've got some in
the
pot
front,
right
front door.
Now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We've been using it all the time lately.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, to have that nice fresh tea with some mint and poured over ice.
It's so good. And you just
sound,
you know,
as
you
it
get
cracks the ice.
Spoon and kind of like you would with like a maybe a mojito or something like that. You know, you just kind of
mush up the tea a little bit,
crush
pull up
the
leaves.
Just so that those oils can come out or really, really flavor.
Yeah, mash them up, put them in the bottom of the cup, put some ice in there. Order. I love that sound as you pour in the warm tea over the ice cubes and it cracks. And so not much better than some great sweet tea and mint on the back porch in a southern afternoon or evening. And I think that's why we've adopted it so much, maybe.
Yeah, and it's not all bad for you. It's certainly, I think, better for you than
sodas.
Mm-hmm. There's antioxidants and things. And you can do different types of stuff. We mentioned the orange pekoe, but you can go with green tea. Yep. You can do a green iced tea.
Which we've done a bunch.
We have. And
Earl Grey.
Very good. Yep. We've used Earl Grey, which is one of my favorites for hot tea.
And if you're not familiar with Earl Grey is an English dark tea, black tea, but
it's flavored with bergamot,
which is a citrus fruit.
It's like a citrus fruit from the Mediterranean area.
So it's kind of like a lemon and a lime cross.
Yeah, I'm not sure
some
exactly.
Other things, but it's good flavor. You know, not getting into that mango passion fruit tea,
or
whatever
peach tea or any of that.
Yeah. Just a little different flavor. And again, the green is really good. So if you like getting some health benefits from the green tea, but don't always want to drink hot or don't like hot tea.
Right, or maybe you don't want quite as much caffeine because there's less caffeine in green tea.
Right.
So that's
another good thing to try it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's Sweet Tea and Tacos for this week. Leave us a review on your podcast feed of choice, and that helps reach other people. Send us a question. Send us if you have a story about sweet tea in your life or growing up or whatever, or maybe a method you use. Mm-hmm. You know, let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from
you. Visit us on Facebook or our website. And there you go. Have some sweet tea. I think I may make some, huh?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.